Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hi, welcome. I'm so delighted you're able to join me today. We are going to be talking about a subject that so many of us have had situations with. And what is that? The in-laws. Oh, how many shows, comedies have depicted Archie Bunkers and some other exquisite personalities that we all just roll our eyes about and go, oh my goodness. Well, my guest today, Deanna Brand, has put together a wonderful book called Reluctantly Related. And I absolutely adore the cover because it shows a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, tied together by ropes. And they're just straining against these ropes. It's like, please, why are we together? Well, it was something called marriage. So let's get into this topic that can be humorous on one hand and on the other hand can be absolutely devastating. And Deanna Brand is going to be giving us those insights. Hi, Dr. Brand.
How are you?
Well, I am doing absolutely wonderfully. When I first heard about your book and I was thinking, oh my goodness, how many people have gone through this experience and there's know-how-to book on dealing with this because it's all about relationships and territories being changed of personal associations. And I use the term territory deliberately because as human beings, we always have our turfs. That's how I like to describe it. And so when we get someone new in the neighborhood, in the family neighborhood, if you will, that turf can really get testy. So I just thought this was wonderful because you talk about it being your in-law survival guide. And your candor in this book, Reluctantly Related, is just absolutely amazing. Now, you yourself had a challenge, and that was a daughter-in-law that you dearly love, but...
Yeah.
Whoa, when she first came into the picture. Give us a little bit of your history there.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I am a psychologist, so that adds another piece to this because here I am helping everybody else. And now, initially, my daughter-in-law and I got along great, you know, for several years, actually. And then they started having children and things started to change. And for me, again, as a psychologist, I thought, you know, I should be able to figure this out. But I was way too close to it. You know, even though we're therapists, we're still people, and we still have issues, and things still come up. And so, you know, I started struggling with my daughter-in-law, and I would try different things. Nothing seemed to work. I didn't know what the problem was. I couldn't get her to talk about it. And I have to say, this is a little uncomfortable, but it's the truth. We struggled for 8 years. I mean, I was starting to get nervous that things were not going to ever get better. And that's when I, you know, I just realized, you know, I can't keep doing this. This is just not going to work for me. And so I started my research, and I talked to hundreds of mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law and even husbands and sons because I wanted to get a whole picture. And that's where the book was starting to develop for me, and I, you know, started to figure out some of the tools that I could use for my own situation. And then I started working with other mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law, and not only was I able to help myself, but I was able to help other women as well. So that's kind of how the book was born and how I moved into this field.
Now, Dr. Brand, as you said, this has become an area of specialty for you. And I know the men in the world, whenever they have encountered these situations between their mothers or their mothers-in-laws and their wives, or, you know, the daughter-in-laws, it gets sort of confusing when you use all the terminologies depending on where you are. But what happens is that most of the times the guys just go, hands off, I'm getting out of here, go away. Because there's a whole different level of communication that the guys have from what the gals have. And you made a point right at the very beginning when you were talking about your own personal story that I think is so significant, and I've seen it happen time and time again as a counselor, and that is when children come in, the mm-hmm. female positioning changes dramatically. It's something that even, and just like you said with yourself and with your daughter-in-law, there was this surprise. You didn't understand what's going on here. And motherhood sometimes brings into the picture this possessiveness. Now, sometimes you're going to have, you know, someone that is just the way they are, with or without kids. But that is really what triggered it, wasn't it? When
it was.
You had this beautiful grandchild, and you were just adoring the child. And all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh, you're in my turf. I'm mom. You stay away. There's a sense of concern about losing the bond or the connection. We women are pretty sensitive about that, aren't we?
I think so. Not only are we sensitive to that, but we get really, we take everything so personally, you know. And so when a new mom, you know, has her baby, I totally understand, you know, it's your child. You want to be the one, you know. But grandmas do have things to offer. And I think probably for most women, and I have to include myself in this, I think, you know, because we never talked about this relationship, you know, the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, we just were kind of going blindly into this. And so I think everybody just kind of brings their stuff, you know, to the table, and we kind of butt heads that way. And, you know, daughters-in-law, at that point, once they have children, they want to be seen as a true adult. You know, because not only am I, you know, grown up, but I have a child now. And they really want to be respected for who they are as an adult woman. And sometimes mothers-in-law can kind of forget about that and kind of get focused on the fact that, you know, she's my daughter-in-law, which means she's more like a daughter to me, and it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about in your book, and I love how you bring out the characters, M.I.L. is mother-in-law, and Dill is daughter-in-law, and you have the husband-son, and you know, on both sides of the equation there. There are so many different personality types, and you bring out a couple, and a few, actually, and I just chuckled when I went through this, because dealing with the people that I've dealt with through the years, I mean, I've heard the labels, oh, this is a Jewish mother-in-law, this is what you've got, or an Italian mother-in-law, or you got a Greek mother-in-law, and blah, 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 and it goes on and on. And I just have to laugh, because your point, you have one sentence where you say, we all have our own perceptions, and we all have things that we have heard over the years that have automatically gone into our little file cabinet of, oh, this is what happened. Or we've watched programs on television and we think that's real life. It's not real life. Real life is something that is many times more dramatic than what you might see on television. Other times, not so dramatic. I mean, it's where do you go? Your statement about we don't have these conversations about how to work with people. This is something that I think has gone on for ad infinitum, unless you were in a culture where everyone, like in some indigenous cultures, were, for example, with children, everybody shared in it. You didn't worry about
exactly.
it because it was the village, and I'll use that terminology, the village that raised the child. But even then, there were what you'd call your particular levels, that the woman was expected to be responsible in certain ways, do certain things. So there were, what do I want to say, classifications, even within that village environment. But the child always knew that really had a village full of mothers, for all intents and purposes, and fathers. But here in our society, in so many ways, we're so detached. But comfortable Carla, I took a yellow highlighter, and I made her a yellow blonde-headed gal. I just absolutely adored her. You have comfortable Carla, mothering Margaret, off-the-wall Wanda, and uncertain Sarah. Oh, my goodness. I could just see all of these people. They are really something. And you made the four classifications. And of course, there could be also scale classifications that someone could say, gee, there's two of these. I could have comfortable Carla, but also mothering Margaret in there together, and they're driving me nuts. So let's talk about
They can blend. You can blend these sometimes, you know, because we're always evolving and changing. So there may be a combination of these things, but these are the pure forms of them.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Comfortable Carla. Oh, I just love this gal. Talk about her.
Well, Comfortable Carla, she's a mother. These are mothers-in-law, and this particular one, Comfortable Carla, is probably the ideal. She's the one every daughter-in-law would love to have because she knows her place. She knows and respects her daughter-in-law and her place, and there's a great mutual respect that she has, and so she knows she's secondary in her son's life now. You know, she used to be a primary role. She knows that she's not that anymore, and she's okay with that. She's willing to accept that role.
Mm-hmm.
And so she will have a tendency of, you know, deferring to her daughter-in-law more. She's very good with boundaries. She knows, you know, when to push and when not to push, and she's just very, very respectful of the relationship that her son has with his wife.
And more than that, she's got a life. She's not
she
over there trying
to... She has a
life,
absolutely.
Yeah.
She's moved on from being a mom. Her identity isn't wrapped up in that.
Right, and so she's not all caught up in, gee, with, she doesn't cry, she doesn't whine, she doesn't feel sorry for herself. She says, I've got a life. Go on, live your life. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm busy. Don't bother me.
Sometimes moms have a hard time letting go of the mom role, you know,
mm-hmm.
even with their adult children. And, you know, so they forget that, you know, they are adult women, too. They can have a life beyond motherhood, you know.
Oh, that's a big one. That is a big one. I have known so many women, and this has been, whether they're married or they're single, that their child or children, this is their life. They have even, some of them, been indoctrinated that this is all they're supposed to live for. So when those children leave home and when those children bring someone into their environment, they go, wait a minute, you've got to know, I'm mother. So let's talk about mothering Margaret, because she can drive somebody up a wall.
She can't, you know, she... The sad thing about mothering Margaret is, you know, she can drive someone crazy, but she has such good intentions. She does not really, her intent is not to be intrusive or to be controlling, but that's how she comes across, even though that's not her intent. So it's real confusing for her sometimes because she's just trying to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets caught up in the mother role a little bit too much, and her help is often not wanted or asked
Correct.
For. She's just volunteering it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, the daughter-in-law sees her as intrusive and controlling and, you know, why doesn't she just butt out of our life a little bit more? You know, she's just too involved. And so it can get really uncomfortable for the daughter-in-law, and that's where a lot of problems can happen between the two. There's tension that builds between those two women, you know, because mothering Margaret, she's just being helpful, and she's kind of oblivious to the impact her actions are having on her daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm. It's a very fine line, unless as a woman you can sort of go backwards and say, you know, I probably would have felt the same way. But the communication between generations, it's really a very difficult one. But again, there is that mothering side. She wants to be helpful. But what I think is when you combine a mothering type with an off-the-wall Wanda, that's when, that's a doozy. I've seen that in play.
Yeah. Off-the-wall Wanda is the most difficult mother-in-law to have to deal with because she does not care how she impacts people. She's
mm-hmm.
just going to say what she wants to say. She's going to do what she wants to do. She's going to ignore what you want as a daughter-in-law or even as your son, as her son. She will ignore him, and she'll
mm-hmm.
go do what she wants with the grandkids, or she'll go, you know, buy what she wants. And she totally ignores any boundaries or any rules that may be set. She's just
mm-hmm.
like, and she has no ability to self-reflect. So it's not like you can reason with her and, you know, and try to show her what she's doing wrong because she doesn't care. So she's difficult, but you can still deal with her.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you go into, one of the many points that
mm-hmm.
you bring up. Uncertain Sarah. Oh, my goodness. This is...
Well, you got to feel sorry. Feel sorry for kind of her because she's kind of let go of her son, but her thing is she doesn't know really how to be as what to do with an adult son. She doesn't know what kind of relationship she's supposed to have with him, which means if she can't figure that out, she really doesn't know what to do with her daughter-in-law either. So mm-hmm. what she ends up doing is she kind of tries, sometimes she'll try too hard and she'll be intrusive, and then other times she'll back off way too far and it feels like she doesn't want to be involved with you at all. So she can really drive someone crazy because you don't know how she's going to be with you at any given time. And again, her intentions are not bad. She just doesn't have a clue how to be.
Well, now we're going to go to the daughter-in-law. Confident Connie. Again, my yellow highlighter was just going to make her a golden blonde.
The blonde hair, right?
That's it. We're just going to make it blonde. But she is, you know, this is a mature person, really. This
yes.
is someone
yeah.
that's not 16 years old. This is someone that really has a good sense about herself. That's why you called her Confident Connie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's describe that kind of person, because it is
okay.
really an ideal situation when you have
yeah.
someone with that balance.
And there are young women out there like this. I mean, she's very comfortable with who she is. I mean, she's not perfect, but she knows who she is, and she's okay with who she is, and she's comfortable in her own skin, and that's probably the most important thing. You know, she doesn't get caught up in all these other issues that people can get caught up in. She knows her husband loves her. She knows her husband loves his mom. But she knows that she's number one with her husband, and it doesn't have to be thrown in the mother-in-law's face.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she has a respect for her mother-in-law. I mean, this is the woman who raised the man she loves.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a respect for that woman. But she also knows that that woman is no longer number one in her husband's life. And that just feels, you know, she knows her husband knows where everybody fits. And so that feels really, really good to everybody. And so she can let things go. If her mother-in-law says something that's a bit off, she just ignores it. She doesn't take it personally because she can look at the bigger picture.
Now, we've got a doubting Donna. And, oh, my goodness, how many people go through this? Questioning,
this
you know,
is,
women,
yeah,
young women.
I think this is a stage
it
young
is.
Women
it
go
really
through.
Is.
I really
I mean,
do.
It's something that, heck, I've seen it in young women that are in their 30s that I'll
yeah.
just go, my goodness, why don't you have enough? It has to do with self-esteem. So let's talk about doubting Donna.
Yeah, it does have to do with self-esteem, and a lot of it has to do, and I know people don't like hearing this, but it has a lot to do with her unfinished issues that she has with her own mother that are
mm-hmm.
unresolved. And as long as those are unresolved, it creates a lot of self-doubt, a lot of second-guessing in herself and not feeling good about herself. So when, let's say, a mothering Margaret makes a comment to her who she's just trying to be helpful, doubting Donna will interpret it as, you're being critical, you're judging
mm-hmm.
me. When
mm-hmm.
that may not be the case, it may just be, you know, I'm just making a comment. And
right.
it can be, so she really can twist and turn what someone says because of her own self-esteem. And then that starts to get into a power struggle with the mother-in-law a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, Weird Wendy is a doozy. And I've known
yeah.
people that have had someone like this come into the family, and everyone in the family looks at each other and goes, okay, who's going to call
yeah.
the shots on this one? Weird Wendy is coming over. So
yeah,
let's
yeah.
talk about Weird Wendy.
Weird Wendy, she's very tough because kind of like off-the-wall Wanda. Now, she won't say things typically, but what she does is she doesn't want to have anything to do with not just the mother-in-law, but anybody on his side of the family. And so she will very much twist and turn even the most innocent comment into an excuse for not being involved in his family. And, you know, so, you know, most people just want to avoid her because she's so prickly and she can just go off in a minute and she will, you know, either yell at you or say things like that to you, or she'll totally, like, cut you out of her life. And also the husband/son's life, too. So she's one that people dance around a lot because she's really hard to reach. You know,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't want to have a relationship. She doesn't have friends. She really just doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. So you have that. And then the last one is Transition Tracy.
Yeah, she actually, I believe, started out as a doubting Donna, and she has transitioned into really working through her issues and feeling much more comfortable with who she is. And because she's done her work, so to speak, she really likes her mother-in-law. She respects her mother-in-law, but she really has no desire to have a one-on-one relationship with her. You know, it's just not important to her. She's got a mom, or she had a mom if her mom died or something, and, you know, she just doesn't feel that need to make that connection one-on-one with her mother-in-law. She likes her. She'll be respectful. She'll be kind to her. She'll be nice to her, but she won't be one to go out and have lunch with her, you know, or go hang out with her. That's not the kind of relationship she wants. She wants it to be, you know, I'll see her when my husband sees her kind of thing, you know, and that's all it's ever going to be, which can be hard for mothers-in-law sometimes.
Mm-hmm, it can. Now, let's get into the hubbies or the sons. We're not going to leave these guys out because they're part of this triangle, if you will. And you've got self-assured Andy, in the middle Michael, and struggling Stephen. Now, self-assured Andy is again, what you consider optimum because he has an understanding of women, and I bet a guy listening to the show today would say, you have got to be kidding. What guy ever understands a woman? That's not a possibility. But
well,
there
probably
are those.
Even more important than that, he is comfortable with himself. He has, he's matured. He has emotionally separated from his mom. I mean, he still has respect for his mom and loves his mom, and he can be close to his mom, but he knows that he's going to make his own decisions, and he's going to live his own life, and it's fine, and there doesn't have to be, you know, a tug-of-war with mom. He's let go of that, and so he's very comfortable in his own skin, too. He also knows his wife is his priority, and he doesn't doubt that, question that, or anything, and he makes sure, in a very loving, kind way, he makes sure everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. He does it in a very kind, loving way. He doesn't have to get rid of his mom to show his wife that she's number one. You know, everybody's got their place, and he can help everybody know that.
Well, I've known of men that have done exactly that. They have literally cut themselves off from the mothers if they had Wanda or one of the other types. I'm sorry, I just can't deal with it because my wife is first. There are others that will say, I'm sorry, my mother is first. And I think of the adage that is often promoted, if you want to know how you're going to be treated, look at how a man treats his mother. And that is what you're going to find in your relationship. And I thought to myself many times, that is true, maybe to a point. But let's talk about in the middle, Michael.
Yeah, in the middle, Michael, he struggles probably the most of all of them because he sees both sides. He loves his mom. He loves his wife. You know, he wants them to get along. He doesn't understand why they don't, which most men don't understand why they, you know, can't get along. And, you know, he tries to placate both sides. You know, he tries to get the other one to see the other one's point of view. And he ends up getting into more trouble than anybody because both people are unhappy with him, and so he just kind of sometimes throws his hands up, and he tries to avoid things sometimes, and he'll try to talk about it, but then he gets in trouble, so then he backs off, and he's just all over the place, and he gets in trouble by his mom and by his wife.
It's just, again, this makes a great comedy routine, but in real life, it's not fun. Struggling
is
Stephen.
Yeah, he's typically married to the weird Wendy's. He's often in that role. Not always, but he typically is. And he is so uncomfortable and so not knowing what to do that he will avoid his family and make up excuses for his wife because he doesn't know how to deal with it. And he just struggles with the whole thing, and he can't talk to his wife. You know, he'll sometimes kind of make a comment to his family, his mother or his family, but instead of dealing with it, he just avoids. He'll, like, either take, you know, go over to his family's house and say, well, you know, my wife has got a headache, she doesn't feel good. You know, he'll do it that way, or he'll, you know, kind of plan family events when she's out of town, things like that, so he doesn't have to deal with it.
We human beings are really something. I think that's why comedians have so much material to work with. One of the comments you make is to keep in mind that in a relationship, the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, that the goal is not to be right, but to strengthen the relationship, to develop a communication. And I thought those words were very powerful. I think of a very dear friend of mine that I've known for years, and she welcomed a daughter-in-law into her space 5 years ago. And this is a very strong woman, and she encountered a lot of fear, much of what you covered just in our discussion today. And she just would say, fine, if that's the way you want to do things, and she'd back off. But I thought it was really almost comical how the daughter-in-law came to the point where she wanted the mother-in-law to constantly be available for babysitting or whatever. But she was saying, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. And so my friend had to establish some boundaries. And so she doesn't babysit the grandchildren 5 days a week. She doesn't do that. She'll say, this is what I'll do, and she'll give it so much time. And I found in listening to what has gone on, we discussed it at length, that as she's established her boundaries, there is a mutual respect. And they really do like each other because they're both very strong women, very strong women. Both of these are women that have, you know, both the mother-in-law, she's had to go through a lot of challenges in life, and she stands firm on her own 2 feet, and she's got a daughter-in-law that is of an equal type of background. So they are so much alike in many respects. And fortunately, my friend has the maturity to understand that it's okay. I can just leave this alone if necessary. And it really has made a difference. But it's been tough for her at times because her grandkids mean so much to her. But she's had to work through that, too. And that is what you went through. You went through your own kind of adjustment patterning.
Yeah, you know, when you brought up the point of, you know, the right and wrong, I think that happens more than anything else, not just in mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships, but in relationships in general, is that there always has to be someone right and someone wrong, you know, and that creates such a stalemate that, you know, no one is going to budge on that one. And so, you know, relationships can end because of that, or that can start the building of all this animosity and anger and frustration and resentment because someone's got to be right, someone's got to be wrong. And I just think you got to look at the bigger picture and what is it that you really want here, you know? If you want to have your grandchildren in your life, or you want, you know, a relationship, you know, so that everybody can get along, you've got to look above all this right and wrong stuff and really think, what do I really want here, you know? And I can make that happen because I'm not going to focus on right and wrong. Because it doesn't matter. It's all about perception anyway.
That is so true. And it's our perception, it's our experience, and I like the point that you bring out in the very beginning of the book, how we all have our own baggage. And dependent on what our family relationships were or were not before we have that significant person in our life, sometimes there are family relationships, I know, because I experienced one many years ago, where a person was so terrified, a mother-in-law was so terrified of losing her turf that she was off the wall with everybody in the family. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I thought, isn't that an interesting positioning for someone to take? And this woman was just devastated because she was basically left alone. And you have a questionnaire that you have in the back of your book for a mother-in-law, also, you know, daughter-in-law. And I just think that these questions are good questions because it's very hard many times to look at ourselves and very hard sometimes to realize that sometimes our behavior is mirroring behavior that maybe we've experienced from people we've known in the past and we're carrying around.
Yeah.
We don't realize that it's not our stuff, but we're carrying it because that's the only thing we learned.
Yeah, and we create our own story from that. And so what I have seen happen, Donna, is that people will get into this victim concept, you know, and they get caught up in that. And it's like, you know, I don't know why these things keep happening to me. And I don't know why my daughter-in-law or my mother-in-law treats me this way, you know. And it is because of that, a lot to do with that baggage. And we get caught up and stuck in being the victim.
Yes, life is an interesting series of dramas in so many ways, and all of us have our own stories to tell. I loved your story. I think your book, Reluctantly Related, is well done. And
thank you.
Dr. Brown, it's just been absolutely delightful having you as a guest. And you have two websites that people can go to. You have inlawsos.com. I love that one. Inlawsos.com. And then also reluctantlyrelated.com, where those of you listening, you know, this would be your great wedding gift for a woman that's getting married.
Sides, yeah.
And I don't care if the person is 16 or 85. Because you're always going to come into a new family environment. But it's something that I think goes a long way to helping one establish better communication with itself as well as those that are going to be in your life. And it's always a surprise. You never know what's really going to be there. And Dr. Deanna Braun, this is absolutely marvelous. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
It was my pleasure, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo, Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. Trust me, it is a good one to read. If you're having a challenge, this is a book you're going to want to add to your library. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or squatsponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting amazon.com or squatsponge.com. Visit amazon.com or squatsponge.com for more information.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. 888-888-0008 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I would be delighted to. And all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or initial, and then let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. June is the month, a big month for weddings. It has been traditionally for a lot of years, so I thought I would share some tidbits about some old-school beliefs and some trivia stuff. It's really just a lot of fun. Now, new common law marriages are recognized in 10 states and the District of Columbia. You know, this is something that people could be together for years and years and years and years. And the reason common law marriages were so important to be recognized is because of property. That's right. And there were many times people that had been companions for years and years, and even if someone had a will designating the property go to their significant other that was in their life, male or female, it didn't make any difference, then there often would be huge battles. So when a couple had been together an average of, you know, 15 to 20 years, they figured they were just like they were married, and if they shared responsibilities and a will was made out, then everything was legal and in order. But there's only 10 states that recognize that, and the District of Columbia. Also, live stream weddings today have become a big thing, not just with the weddings. I mean, in so many other areas of public performance, you might say, they allow front row access to virtual guests everywhere. And the technology today is just shifting so many things. And also, the word bride, do you know where that word comes from? Well, it comes from an old English word for cook. Ladies were sunk before we even get the title of bride. Yes, because it came from that English word for cook, and consequently, I guess that's the reason we're expected to do it, right? Now, an interracial marriage, which is something we don't think about today, it's no big deal, but it was illegal in a number of states until 1967. And I have talked to people throughout the years that went through being married to someone from another country, from, you know, they have a different skin color, another ethnicity, and it was horrible what they went through. Absolutely horrible. So the big changes started in the late 60s. And of course, today, we don't even think anything of it at all. And did you know that in the state of Alabama, a couple can marry at the age of 14 with parental consent? Mm-hmm. That used to be quite common, but not so much anymore today. But in Alabama, you can be married at the age of 14 as long as your parents give consent. And this last one I had to throw in. Salem, Massachusetts, there's a law, actually. Married couples are not allowed to sleep in the nude in a rented room. Oh, boy. Some of these laws have to be taken off the books. Anyway, I just thought I'd share some of that wild and crazy trivia with you. June, this is summertime, vacation time. This is the time when we want to get out, go see things, just have a good time. Well, a lot of us are on budget. And we go, how in the world are we going to be able, especially if you have a family, how are we going to be able to go out and have a vacation or have a break, have fun, and not spend a whole bunch of money? Well, I found some wonderful, wonderful suggestions relative to this. And one of them came from an expert, Erica McNeil. And she said, what you should do is break up your days. Let's say mom and dad are going to have a chance to have, and it could be just for couples too, they're going to have maybe a week or 2 weeks. This is vacation time. This is play time. And one of the things that's suggested is give up the computers, leave the cell phones alone, have maybe days where you're either going to play games, you're going to go to the zoo, you're going to do something like this in your local area. But if you have a family, you involve everybody in the family. But you leave the technology alone. And so many professionals, if they have families, by golly, that cell phone is attached at the hip, the computer is at the hip. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people say, just a minute, kids, and they're working on the computer. They're not leaving their work alone for the day. They are still doing it. It's almost like we've got a 24/7 mentality when it comes to doing work. So there are times when you need to turn it off. So the term staycation, I thought, was really a nice term. So that was just one of her suggestions. But she said one of the things that she has found is that if you break up your staycation, which means pretty much being in your own environment, divide it up into four categories: the main event, a silliness section, creative meal, and a love project. Now, these were her suggestions. And she said a main event is the focus of the day, whether it's a train ride, maybe you're going to a museum, or you're going to do something, but everyone is able to pick out something that's special they want to do. Now, maybe you have a garden project that you want to work with, so everybody gets to pick whatever they'd like to do to contribute to that garden, and it's okay. And then something that was suggested that I thought was really, really special, she said a silliness day, and that's when anything that can make you laugh, like buying something at the dollar store for another member of the family to wear all day. She said one day her daughter, when they were doing this, came up with a boa that she saw at the dollar store. Her dad had to wear that all day long. It was a silly day. And I thought, this is really something very different. This is special, especially for the, you know, for the family. And then a meal day, where you want to have a special meal, and then you decide, let's go to the library maybe, we'll get a movie that's going to match the meal. She said one time they had candied apples. The kid said, we want candied apples, and so they chose Snow White. But this is something you can adapt to your own life. But one of the biggest tips, and this one I have utilized, being your own hometown tourist. Are you one of those people like we are? I live in the Seattle area. Do I go and play in Seattle very often? No, I'm busy working. But every time I have guests that come in, that's when I get to go see the Northwest Track, or we go into Seattle and we go to the Science Building or the IMAX or something like this. When you have company come in, you do it. Why don't you do it for yourself? Why don't you and your significant other and your family go over all of the different special places that are in your environment, pick a day, and just go do it right in your own neighborhood? We all have things that are very special that are close to us that we usually won't do. Sometimes it's like when I get together with girlfriends, we'll say, let's do a project. And one day it was a trip to a museum, and then we went and we had tea at a special tea shop. It was absolutely an awesome experience. We were talking to someone that had all this knowledge about Chinese teas and things like this. We were having a blast. We had spent very little money other than for gasoline and just had a terrific time. But you want to take time when you have your staycation. You don't have to spend a lot of money, but you want to enjoy it. Another tip is check your library. Check your library for free passes that may be available online for you where you can go into museums or to zoos. There's all kinds of ways that you can save money and have fun at the same time. Remember, it's wonderful if you are in the means positioning of being able to travel around the world. That's great. But sometimes you have some of the greatest treasures right in your own neighborhood. Why not explore? Why not check it out? And lastly, don't overschedule. Oh, my goodness. Been there, done that. And by the time you finish with the day, you ask yourself, did I have any fun with this day? Relax. Have time. I love the Southern attitude where you have rocking chairs out on the front porches and everybody sits out there and they're in their rocking chairs and they communicate, they relax, they have them outside of restaurants. It's great. Take time to do that. Take time to communicate. It's so important. It really, really is. Take time for yourself. Take time with your loved ones. It makes all the difference in the world. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a minute. When we come back, I've got some interesting information about how we can be more efficient with power. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, call me at 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Again, send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Oh, before I forget, I want you to know tomorrow we're going to be talking with Penny Pierce. It's about leap of perception. Now, this is a book that when you read it, it makes you aware of how far we have come with our thinking and how we are evolving in our thinking and processes where we're going to be more comfortable in our own mental skins with the intuitive processes and integrating them into everyday life. And this is something that I've talked about, my goodness, for years. And it is so important for us to be at ease with that because it's something that we have inherited naturally. Well, we're going to be talking about the leap of perception. And also then on Friday, W.L. Lanning is my guest. This man is a mature man, and he put together this book, The Phoenix Success Strategy. Now, we hear every day about people that are going through tremendous losses. Here in the United States alone, there's so many that have been devastated just by Mother Nature. But there have been millions affected by job layoffs and all kinds of things. Well, this man and his wife were supposedly financially secure. Any one of us would have said, oh, my goodness, aren't you lucky? But they lost everything. And a pair of scissors, a pair of scissors made a big change in their life. And then they totally regrouped and recouped what had been lost. But these people were in their 60s. Inspirational stories. We're going to be hearing about that on Friday. Okay, power drains. Now, I don't know about you, but we're all inundated frequently of save energy, save energy, save energy. And some of the stuff that comes out is just ludicrous. But we are becoming more cognizant of this because if you're like the Sebo household, you're seeing bills go up. And if you use natural heating oil, then you have got enormous bills. Electrical bills are going up. They're not going down. Natural gas is going up, not going down. You have all of these things. So we've been told about insulating the houses and so on and so forth. However, one of the biggest drains that's occurring is with technology. That's right. The technology that we may have, that we utilize, computers, printers, any kind of machine. It's your cable box, your HDTV, computer monitor, and all kinds of things. We have coffee makers. We have all this stuff that's plugged in, right? Right. Well, they call them energy-sucking items. How can we save money? Well, they say U.S. households spend about $100 a year to power devices in a low power mode, about 8% of home electricity expenses, according to the government's Energy Star program. Your water heater, lighting, air conditioner, and heater are the biggest energy hogs. And we can cut our energy bills. And so these are some suggestions. Now, one of the things I learned myself, because we have a water heater, and we replaced a water heater that was needing to be replaced, and it's a gas water heater. It's not electrical. We also have a gas furnace, and we had someone coming out checking on the furnace this past year, and by golly, the guy said, "Are you aware that you've got a pilot light that's on all the time?" I said, "Yes." He says, "That's automatically costing you $30 a month, whether you have the system on or off." And I said, "Well, that's very interesting. It just didn't even cross my mind." Well, now they have a new item that with your furnace, and especially with your furnace, because here in the Pacific Northwest, we turn off our furnace for about 4 months out of the year, 5 months out of the year. And then your pilot light is burning. So all of that energy is being wasted. And he said, "We now have something where if you turn it off, that pilot light is off. You're not expending the gas. So you save $30 a month." Well, that was fine, but then he told me it was going to cost me about $9,000 to be able to replace it. And I thought, let's work out the numbers on that one. Is it really going to be saving me money, or is it going to be the illusion of saving me money? And actually, it sort of was an illusion of saving money, because you're never going to recoup that, especially if you decide to sell your home, et cetera. So there is a P3 International P4400 kilowatt. It's an inexpensive electricity usage monitor that plugs into a regular wall outlet. And all you have to do is connect whatever you might think is an energy hog. If you have an old refrigerator like I do, we have them in the garage because we often have times when we entertain, and the overflow of whatever we've got, that goes into those appliances. Well, if you've got an old refrigerator, which I have one of those, you attach it to this P3 International P4400 kilowatt, and it measures the appliance's power consumption by kilowatt hour and shows the results on its display screen. Now, it's only $17, and it will give you the information you need to know so that you'll understand exactly what the energy cost is going to be. Also, there is the incandescent light bulb. That is, that is big, but the version of the bulb, and most of them that are really going to be coming out big time, will be available by next year. There, some of them, they call them hybrid incandescent lights, will save energy and money, but they're very difficult to find if you have an older chandelier, vanity lights. So you have to really check it out. Now, there's something called the Light Bulb Finder. It's a free mobile app, and it works on Apple or Android. It helps you to find the right energy-saving bulb. Now, what you do with this app is that you enter your zip code, and it automatically downloads the information for you of the average electricity rate for your region. And then they give you images of lighting fixtures, and you can choose the type of incandescent bulb you want to replace. And they give you all the specifics with it. So that's a free app. It's called a Light Bulb Finder. And our desktop computers, we've got more than one in our office. Monitors, we've got more than one on our offices. And usually, they're left on 24/7. So you can buy power-saving devices that can stop the power drip and cut your electric bill. Now, here's one. It's called the Belkin Conserve Switch Surge Protector. And it has a remote. And it's $40. And it has a power off. It has a power strip, and it's got 6 switchable on-off items to it, and 2 additional outlets that are always on. And it works about 60. There's a wall-mountable wireless remote that works up to 60 feet from the power strip. Now, if you want to turn up to 6 devices, a computer, monitor, printer, speakers, and hard drive, all you do is flip the switch. And it's great if you have something that needs power for 24/7. Like an internet router or a cordless phone. So that's just a little bit of information on some new things that are evolving that are going to help us save some energy. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we're out of time. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Tell your friends, and I hope you'll come and be a part of the program tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Leap of Perception. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. So much is changing in life. You can handle it. You can deal with it. But remember, don't be in such a hurry. Take a time. Little tiny steps can make a big difference. But above all, beam your light of the best of who you are out into the world, because it is needed, and you're very special. Thanks again for joining me. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.